We started with a mythical tree in the first book of the Bible. Now we turn our thoughts to another mythical tree, this time in the last book of the Bible, the tree of life, which we hear about in John's vision of the heavenly Jerusalem. At the beginning of Revelation, in the letter to the church at Ephesus, John writes, "To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God." In the Genesis story we thought about earlier, we talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2, it also talks of the tree of life. It's not clear entirely if those two trees are one and the same. It seems more likely they're not. It stands for mankind's complete communion with God, the source of all life. When Adam is banished from the garden, he has that communion broken. But here in the vision of John, that communion is restored. That was not entirely new thinking. There were many Jewish thinkers who believed that when the Messiah came and the new age dawned, the tree of life would be central again. So, for example, in the book Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, it says, "The knowledge of the Lord's commandments is life-giving discipline, and those who do what is pleasing to him enjoy the fruit of the tree of immortality." The rabbis talked of this tree overshadowing the whole of paradise, with 500,000 fragrant perfumes, and the fruits having infinite numbers of different tastes. We heard in the reading how that tree in paradise has 12 different fruits, one for each month of the year, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Again, it takes us back to those primitive mythological stories in Genesis, and how the nations were divided after the building of the Tower of Babel. What sinfulness has divided, God's redemption in Jesus has restored. It's good to remember that the new age which Christ brings in is all-encompassing. The world is redeemed, not just people. The hope in Christ is not just personal salvation, but the salvation of the whole world. It's all creation which groans like a woman in labour, Paul writes, until she finally gives birth to the new age of God's kingdom. There is so much in the New Testament which has language which means the restoration of what is lost. Death turns to life, darkness to light, division of nations into unity of all people. Jesus is the new Adam, whose obedience is the reversal of the first Adam's disobedience. As we sing in the hymn, "A second Adam to the fight and to the rescue came." And the word "rescuer" is an accurate translation of the word we often translate "saviour." And the language of the tree is very much part of that reversal. As we say in one of the Eucharistic prefaces, the tree of defeat has become the tree of glory, and where life was lost, their life has been restored. The tree, in the sense of the gallows of execution, represents curse. Anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse, as it says in Deuteronomy 21. Paul talks about that curse in Galatians 3 and in 2 Corinthians, and how Jesus has reversed it. It's a glorious mirror ending of the biblical record, that we start and finish with the same tree and see how God's grace has led from losing the tree of life to regain it. Paradise lost to paradise regained, as Milton phrased it in the titles of his poems.